F2A. Number 9B.
Okay, so I take that Christ translation again with the purpose, with the only purpose, not so much to teach it, but that perhaps you can take it in, that you can take the tonality of the whole flow in. Because we have been educated in the reversed way, in the quite the opposite way. We are trained and have been educated to do things ourselves in the first place, always to try to attain an aim by doing it ourselves, by planning it out ourselves, by putting all our intelligence and abilities and faculties in the work to attain that goal. And that is naturally the Old Testament. That's the works of the law. The Christ translation says, all comes from God to man. So that's the very first thing we establish, the direction of the Christ order, is from God to man, and no more from man to God. That's the word. So man, we let, therefore, God come to man. So at that point, we are in a receptive mood. We are the recipient of something that goes on in being. And what is going on in being? Now, we don't know what the Christ wants to work out specifically for us in our life and in any circumstance, but we know how he does it, not what will be the form, the outcome of it. That we do not know. The individuality of that manifestation we do not know. We only know that it is aligned to God's nature. And so I leave out every preconception. I free myself from every material or human conception. And just know that there is that law of translation going on and on. What is that law of translation? I see as the divine principle, that the divine principle is the only authority ever going on. That is a potentiality that is always there and always is just ready to express itself as actual power. And so I feel that potentiality of the divine principle wants to express itself. The moment I come to that point, wants to express itself, I get the sense of life, of the impulsion of life, of the impelling power of life, of the actual expressing power of life. And I see that principle is not just resting, but that it is also expressing itself and impelling its own nature to flow out. And to flood, so to say, the whole universe with principle's idea, with that which principle has conceived, what it wants to achieve. And so at the point of life, I feel that that principle is constantly expressing itself, impelling its own idea to manifest itself. That's the tone of life. What will this life principle want, what will it do? Come to the tone of truth. It wants to make us conscious of the consciousness of truth. It wants to actualize itself in the consciousness of man, so that man is knowing what he knows, that man is conscious of the Christ translation. And so I begin to feel I know that what is going on. I have the Christ within me. The Christ is my Christ consciousness, and I feel it is a saving power at work. It is a power at work that wants to make me conscious of the divine principle of being and what the divine principle of being has in store for me and how that principle wants to express itself. And so I come to love and say, and that what that divine principle through life and truth wants to express itself, that I begin to know the plan of love, that I begin to accept the plan of love, that I'm willing to be used by the plan of love. Whatever that plan is, it's unsearchable for me. I don't know the height and breadth of that plan. I only know that it has a plan and that that plan is the maximum of good. That I know. And so I feel under that impulsion of the divine principle that wants to express itself as life, that wants to express itself as a consciousness of truth, so that I'm not blind in what's going on, and that what he wants to show me is that there is an infinite universal plan of salvation taking care of every detail, mothering every detail. Nothing is left out in the all-inclusive plan of love. That I know. And when I contemplate that, then arises something in me, usually, that asks a question and says, but that's wonderful, but that's etherical, that's esoterical, that's up on cloud nine. I want to see that as my very being. And so the Christ says, yes, I will take care of that. And so he takes up the second block and says, you know, that divine principle is the only ego in the world. It's the only I in the world. There is no other ego, no other I in the world. And therefore the ego God and the ego man are identical. They are in perfect agreement with each other. That's the point of soul, where I begin to see that the whole nature of principle, life, truth, and love is translating itself in its identical nature to every point of divine ego, to the divine I. And so nothing is being lost on that transition, on that translation process, and I feel the whole nature, again I say it, of principle, life, truth, and love is being translated, because in that one ego, that is the in that one ego, all the divine egos are reflected in there. All the divine eyes are reflected in there. And I'm included in that. So that the whole identical nature is being brought out within me. How? By spirit. By ordering everything within me that needs to be ordered. That the divine translation comes to me and begins to identify, classify, and individualize every little thing within me. It begins to order everything within me. It uses all the channels that are necessary to bring chaos into order, to bring out of chaos order, to bring into my consciousness a hierarchical consciousness of order, where everything falls into place. That's my tone of spirit there, that hierarchical order, where I begin to see in any situation where I see only chaos, where I don't see a solution, I begin to see that that divine spirit is there to take principle, life, truth, and love in its full nature and begins to use those channels, those experiences, those tools that are adapted to bring order into chaos, to translate everything out of chaos into order, to translate everything that is not identified, that is not clear, that is somehow elusive into ideas. And I feel that there is a great leavening going on there in spirit, that leavening that leavens the whole lump. And I must be very careful then at that point that I am not trying to figure out how it is being done, how on earth that chaotic situation can be solved, how on earth that crisis can be solved. I must be very careful not to try to find a human conception of it, how it should be done, but to rely entirely that the spirit blows where it listens, that the spirit has its own way of ordering everything in order to purify that whole situation to the point where only the true idea, I come now to mind, that only the true idea in its fullness is being manifested, and that that idea has nothing anymore that beclouds it, nothing anymore that is elusive. It stands out very clear. It's that point where it makes click. And I know now it has happened. The manifestation is brought to the point of expression, of actualization. And that I have to trust. That all I have to trust. And you see, if we do that in a conscious, constant way, and you may not have done it, and that may be the answer why so often you may have said, why doesn't things work out better? Why don't things work out better? Well, have we ever let the Christ operate in us? Did we ever give the Christ the chance to do that, what the Christ wants to do with us? You see, our order was always upside down in that calculus. Our order was always Word, Christianity, Christ. We always had, if I take it in a general way, and I know the students and I know me, I know my whole development, I know how I've been brought out over the decades in Christian Science, it was always Word, Christianity, and then try out the Christ. Was always the Word that said, yes, from God comes everything. God is the cause of everything. The cause of man. God created man in his image and likeness of God. So we go from God to man. We go from God to the problem. We go from God to a situation and say, here is a situation that is all wrong. I don't feel happy in it. It's an unsolved situation that must be solved. That situation must reflect God as an image and likeness. When I do that, I'm at the point of Christianity, at the point of reflection. I say, that situation must reflect God, the whole of God. Do you agree that that is Christianity? Goes right to the effect and says, that effect is wrong. So what do? I know that it should be right. It should be the reflection of God. All right. Then, how can I bring about that reflection? Then I go and try out the Christ, if he can help me to resolve that. So I go from the one to the three, and then to the two. Yes? Then I try out the Christ. Well, the Christ says, you're a silly old God boy. You know, I don't want to work out what you want to work out. You have made a completely wrong presupposition. You want to work out something that is of no interest to me at all. And it's no good for you also. For you, something very different is good for you. Can you see the wrong order? And I think you agree with me in the depths of your heart that we did mostly choose that order. From Word and then to man. And if that man didn't behave as we like it, then we say, it's a wrong concept, we must have a right concept about man, so we do something about it. So we go to the Christ. He may be a help. Christ is the Savior. In that case, he's not the Savior. He's just stubborn and says, I don't want that. I don't want to work out what you want to work out. I'm not going to tell me what I have to do. I'm the head of the body. Christ is the head of the body, not you. Not your little head is the head of the body. The Christ is the head of your body. And this is so important. Now we have been talking about this for 2 days, nearly 2 days and a half, and I warned you that I will go over it and over it again until you get tired of me, or until you accept it joyfully, either or. Yes, so we have that Christ. Now, that was Romans. After Romans comes 1 Corinthians. And we will see what 1 Corinthians has to tell us. So we take the epistle book, and open it up on page 72. Page 72. And what do we find here? When you take the last third of that page, which is a summary of the seven subject of 1 Corinthians, you will see that if you rest on, can you read with me where the last main paragraph is? As we rest on the divine foundation, which was naturally Romans, then mind translates itself to us and endows us with the divine wisdom and knowledge, the mind of Christ. We thereby lay down human wisdom and knowledge. And as you go on, first we want to see the layout, and as you go on, you come to spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love. Which is which order? Which is the word order. Now, a great question can come up that has been asked many times, which says, but if Romans is the Christ translation and translates God to man to the point of idea and brings out the full manifestation of idea, why then does Corinthians pick it up there and show it in the word order? Why not in the Christianity order? Because the Christ translation should lead us to Christianity. Because that's the next, what happens after the Christ. And therefore, one could expect that he would bring out the result of that Christ order as a Christianity order. And so we must see why this is not so here. There must be a reason about it. And the reason is a very general reason, which has nothing specifically to do with Romans and 1 Corinthians, but which has to do with the Christ translation. The Christ translation, Mrs. Eddy points out in the textbook, on the page 115, 116, as you know, she gives that Christ order in the first translation. She starts out with divine principle, life, truth, and love, soul, spirit, mind, and shows how it translates there at the end of the first translation to the point of idea as an image in mind, as the immediate object of understanding. So you could say to yourself, all right, that's fine. So if we have found the full manifestation of mind as idea, then we really should stay there with idea and contemplate the idea, the nature of that idea, the bigness of the idea, which would be Christianity. And therefore it would be natural to see the Christianity order afterwards. But we know when we go to the second translation that we find in the third degree the word order. Namely, the third degree of understanding of reality being brought out through the word order of wisdom, purity, spirit of understanding, spirit of power, love, health, holiness. Therefore, the Genesis order. How that? Does the Christ go back to the word? Why doesn't he go forward to Christianity? And that we have to understand. Because you can do both. You can do both. It all depends on what is under consideration. When do I go back from the Christ order to the Word? I go back to the Word then when the idea that is manifested has to resolve an illusion. Then I go back to the word, because the method of an idea resolving an illusion is a creative process, is a Genesis process, and therefore it goes along the creative law of the word order. That's what Mrs. Eddy does in the third degree. Can you see that the second translation, the translation of mortal mind, is really what I have said before? Namely, that the idea must be shown as resolving the illusion, as resolving really the first degree and the second degree, so that the third degree is being brought out. So it is idea resolving its opposite, that the creative process, and therefore it's a creative order, and that's only the word order. And what do we find here in 1 Corinthians? We find the very same thing there. We find that 1 Corinthians, as the second horizontal, has to show that by accepting really the new faith, that is doing something within us, that it gets rid of the old former mode of life and gives us a new mode and style of life. Therefore, it shows that the old has to give way to the new. It is there where we have seen that there is no resurrection without crucifixion. That's the same idea, that we cannot resurrect without first laying aside the false sense. Again, idea resolving an illusion. And so 1 Corinthians shows how that Christ idea of Romans, when it is taken in into consciousness, begins to overturn and overturn the first degree and overturns the second degree until finally, really, the third degree is being brought out. Yes? Is that clear? Huh? And that is what we find here. If we look at, now again, at page 72 of the epistle book, what I have just read a moment ago, you can see that every synonymous term represents now the outcome of that Christ translation. That in every synonymous term you have that the true idea is resolving its opposite. Yes? That the idea is resolving its illusion. And therefore, when you read these seven statements that are stated in a rather stereotyped way because they represent a law, and the law is always stereotyped, you cannot change it the way you like it or just as it comes into your mind. It is stereotyped. Every law is stereotyped because it has fixed elements and fixed relationships. So you can see here what Corinthians says. First, always says that this true idea that is being manifested through Romans has within itself the power to resolve the opposite. Can you see it here? Mind translates itself to us and endows us with divine wisdom and knowledge with the mind of Christ. Can you hear the true idea? What does it resolve? We thereby lay down, now comes the opposite, human wisdom and knowledge. So you really could put this law here in two columns, so to say. The first column would say, what is the idea, the sevenfold idea coming? And on the other column you could write down what it resolves. If you take spirit translates itself to us, what is the positive sense? It endows us with God's increase, the fruits of spirit, which carries within it true substance, the substance of spirit. What does that resolve within us? With thereby, it's always thereby because they go on simultaneously, we thereby lay down our reliance on matter. We cannot at the same time rely on the substance of spirit and on the substance of matter. We can't do that. It's either or. Or you can see soul translates itself to us and endows us with what? With the power to rebuke sin. To rebuke sin. You know that it's soul. And that resolves something. We thereby lay down all sinfulness, the opposite. Or you take principle. Principle translates itself to us and endows us with the authority of divine government. principle is government. If we have divine government, what does it resolve? We thereby withdraw from the government of human views and opinions. We cannot obey two laws, the government of God and the government of human opinion. Can you say, in this stereotype presentation, I always go out and say the synonymous term translates itself to. Well, that includes Romans, huh? The translation, the first translation. God translating itself to a point, to a very specific point of idea. Is that clear? So life translates itself to us. See, that's the Christ translation. Life translates itself to us and again gives us what? It endows us with true charity, that great sense of charity. What does it resolve? We thereby lay down all egotism. There is a printing mistake there. It's called egoism, which is false. It lays down egotism, naturally. Printing mistakes can happen. Or you take truth and see, truth translates itself to us. Again, you have the translation. Always to the point of idea. Which idea in truth? Namely, that it manifests what in us? You see, it always translates to the point of manifestation and endows us with the consciousness of the divine manhood. Well, if I have that consciousness of divine manhood coming in, then something is being resolved within me. We thereby lay down the false consciousness that every man has a private ego. Or finally, in love, we have that love translates itself to us and endows us with the divine gift to traverse the way of salvation. This is love, that gift of being able to go all along the way of salvation. And what does it resolve? We are thereby freed from the corruptible. Namely, death is swallowed up in victory, he says, mortality is swallowed up in immortality. And so the true idea is established. Can you see how you could study this book? You know, this book contains about 10 times more than what you find in it when you study it. I have to point it out. I could point out dozens of other things. See, they are all so precise that only when one has the spiritual tonality within oneself, one can see that these summaries are not just summaries where it is nicely summarized in beautiful words. They are all stereotyped laws. They are all laws that go along the same idea that says here in Corinthians. You see, Corinthians is not in the first place. Corinthians is not the cornerstone of the epistle. The cornerstone of the epistle is the Christ translation. When that happens, then Corinthians feels that, and they are endowed suddenly with something new, a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling, a new way of living, and that takes away the old way of living. And so, in a way, reforms it. Yes. All right. Okay. Tomorrow, you take the Bible with you, and we will do some text interpretation tomorrow with Galatians.